You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by Reverend Wallace Schultz. Now, here is Reverend Schultz.
2 months ago, Newsweek magazine published a story that surprised many people. Using documentary evidence supplied by the world's oldest anti-slavery organization, Newsweek revealed that over 1 million people are currently working as slaves in a number of countries. Some people become slaves through financial debt, and others are captured and resold by modern-day 20th century slave traders. Still others find themselves in the bondage of slavery from the cradle to the grave simply because they were born into a society which permits this heinous crime. But the most repugnant reason that many today remain oppressively locked under slavery is a cause that is indeed despicable and outrageously damnable. For example, on three separate occasions in 1905, and again in 1960, and again in 1980, the government of the West African country of Mauritania outlawed slavery. However, these laws of liberation did not provide much help for many of the slaves. These laws were legal acts designed to set the slaves free. But many of the poor slaves, however, were never told of these laws of liberation, and so they continue to suffer even unto this hour. Now, if all this recent information about the 20th century slaves disturbs you, then perhaps you can also begin to understand why so many Christian missionaries have so much dedication and zeal for their task. These dedicated disciples of Jesus are doing all that they can to take the message of spiritual liberation to the millions who are now not necessarily suffering under physical slavery, but rather terrible spiritual bondage. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, his suffering and his death and his resurrection prepared the beautiful message of freedom. His death destroyed forever the grip of bondage that Satan has placed upon the lives of people through the curse of sin. And now, because of the forgiveness that Jesus earned through the sacrifice of his innocent blood on the cruel cross of Calvary, through faith in this blessed Savior Jesus, you and I need no longer suffer daily with a guilty conscience. Because of the bloody sacrifice of Jesus and through faith in the sin-pardoning merits of the Redeemer's sacrifice, you and I, and all who hear this message of spiritual freedom, can now be free to live a new life filled with hope and joy. We need no longer suffer under the terrors of a guilty conscience. This message is urgent. It is desperately needed by millions in our own country. Those who are slaves of a guilty conscience, slaves of a confused life, and slaves of a disturbed family and marriage. And no one today who knows the beauty and the help of this gospel message of freedom can delay in telling this good news of Jesus to others, especially to neighbors and friends. For centuries, dedicated Christians have sacrificed their lives to bring this good news of God's liberating gospel unto those who suffer under the devil's deeds. And only on the day of judgment will we be able to see the number of missionaries who went to Africa and to India and to China and many other countries. These dedicated disciples of Jesus understood clearly that they would perhaps not survive very long in their new disease-ridden environment. Only eternity will detail how many missionaries were quickly infected by malaria and cholera and typhus and other fatal diseases. Many of these missionaries, after spending only a few months or a year or two, fell mortally ill, and very quickly thereafter, their fellow missionaries ended up burying them. But for many observers, this martyr-like zeal for Christian mission work has been outright baffling. But oh, how little have these observers realized the drive within the heart of those missionaries who have struggled to bring the good news of spiritual freedom and liberation to others the suffering slaves. Beginning with the disciples of Jesus and continuing with the strong missionary movement described in the Bible in the book of Acts, joy-filled Christians have always used every opportunity and employed every conceivable means to announce God's mercy-filled message of freedom from the slavery of sin. In his first epistle, the Apostle John writes that we tell others about God's gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, and his resurrection, so that our joy might be complete. The first Christians could not be held back. Early Christians often evangelized by word of mouth. Secret meetings at night were also held in darkened homes. Candle-lighted caves permitted the oppressed and the persecuted to whisper to their friends and neighbors all about this Jesus who was crucified on the cross for their sins and who was raised again for their justification and for their salvation. For centuries, God's gospel was communicated in hymns, and handwritten tracts were also employed. Even personal letters were sometimes used. But then, centuries later, came the period of the Renaissance and the Reformation. And simultaneous with the reform in the church of 500 years ago, there came also a gigantic leap forward in public communications, the employment of the printing press. As a result, all causes, including the cultural and the political, were given new life and great vigor. Promoters, salesmen, and entertainers used the newly available printed page to get their message to the public. But here again, the zealous Christians did not stand idly by merely watching it all. They saw immediately, yes, they recognized that the new printing press could be used to convey in an even wider way the liberating message of God's holy, life-giving gospel. In fact, one of the most powerful tracts ever written was authored during the Reformation by Martin Luther, titled The Freedom of a Christian Man. The message of this brief Bible-based booklet burst open the gates of freedom. It allowed men and nations to move ahead. Literacy in Europe increased. Economies were transformed, and broken hearts and ruined souls were healed. This Reformation of 500 years ago, a basically religious movement, this transformed the entire Western society. But then in this century, an even more powerful breakthrough occurred. Radio and television arrived on the scene, and as a result, never in history have authors and writers and visionaries and newscasters, entertainers, and even hustlers, never before have they been able to reach such a vast audience. And here again, zealous Christian missionaries did not stand idly by merely watching. They did not let this potential for proclamation go unused. In fact, Christian communicators were some of the very first pioneers in the most effective use of electronic communications. Many Christian groups launched their work in gospel broadcasting at the very first part of this century. This program, The Lutheran Hour, has also been a pioneer in radio communications. This program has been on the air regularly for over 60 years. In fact, the group which sponsors this weekly program, the International Lutheran Layman's League, a Christian lay movement, is this year celebrating its 75th anniversary. And this coming week, the convention is being held in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Attending will be directors of nearly 20 Lutheran Hour offices from around the world, from Japan and Germany, from Africa and Venezuela, from India and the Philippines, and many more areas they will come. Additional people will also arrive from throughout the United States and Canada, and they will swell the overall attendance for the four-day convention to nearly 2,000 participants. Some of the convention time will be devoted to business, but much of the scheduled activity will also include inspirational Bible-based messages. Most interesting, however, will be the reports of the exciting gospel missionary work now taking place throughout the world. Indeed, we can appreciate that there are those who might be confused by all this activity. All this energy discharged and all these resources spent to announce a spiritual message of freedom and hope. But let us state one thing clearly and boldly. The roots for this zealous missionary movement are not mere dreams of man. These works are rooted in the will of God. Because you see, many centuries before Jesus the Savior was born, the prophets told of the coming Messiah. This liberator would not be a political deliverer, This Messiah would not be a cure-all for society's social symptoms. This long-promised Messiah would be much more powerful and much more influential and incredibly more helpful. The Messiah, the Christ, would transform the spirits of men and of nations. Listen as Isaiah the prophet foretells the coming of Jesus and as he explains that the blessed Savior would proclaim that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. Oh, indeed, the future predictions of the prophet Isaiah did not go unfulfilled. 7 centuries later, the promises of hope given by Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea and Amos and others, these prophecies were fulfilled. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men." Wise men traveled many days from the east. They came with great anticipation, not merely to see this baby Jesus, but also to worship him. Yes, they worship this newborn Christ the King. When Jesus was born, it was as the Apostle John wrote, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The law, all of the slavish and burdening rules of religion, came through Moses, but the message of liberty and hope, the message of grace and mercy, has been given to us by God through Jesus Christ. It is indeed sad to read the Newsweek article which documents the cruelty and the extent of untold worldwide suffering brought about by human slavery, which still exists in our modern 20th century. This horrendous brutality now represses and imprisons no less than 1 million people worldwide. And so if this situation gets you upset, then please also remember that this same evil can, and in fact has, happened in religion, especially the Christian faith. You see, Jesus died on the cross, and his death and resurrection, his public victory over the devil, fulfilled Isaiah's prophecies that it was Jesus who would come to proclaim liberty to the captives and to set the prisoners free. In Jesus, this freedom has been accomplished. But all too often, we in the church do very little or even nothing at all in our responsibility to tell the good news of freedom to those locked in spiritual slavery. And so, too, we on this international gospel program of hope, we do not hesitate to invite you. No, we warmly invite you and encourage you to support this worldwide ministry. Spiritual freedom and liberation for the guilty conscience and for the weary heart is available for the millions still suffering as slaves of sin and death. Oh, my friend, please do your part. Tell others of the good news, and let them also be free in Christ. Through your own words and through your prayers and through your support of the gospel work, you can. Yes, you can make a difference. You can help tell the good news of Jesus' sin-crushing death and his new life-giving resurrection. With his arms wide open unto the whole world, from the cruel cross, Jesus publicly proclaimed his emancipation proclamation when he cried out, "It is finished." And so all those today oppressed by a guilty conscience, those today troubled by feelings of family failure, must hear this good news of God's gospel of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And if you today are one of those suffering from anger or confusion or discouragement or despair, then hear this. Your sins are forgiven. You have been freed from this slavery. Don't hesitate and don't delay. But instead, by faith in Jesus, forget about all of your past sins and failures and embrace this glorious gospel of Christ's forgiveness, and then walk every day in this new life of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. In our gospel radio work over the past 60-plus years, we have received thousands and thousands of letters. Letters frequently tell how that gospel message that we are privileged to proclaim, how it has frequently enabled harried and weary housewives to be loving mothers and supportive mates. A travel agent recently wrote that our work has enabled him to regain his faith and go back to church. And the list goes on. The blessed positive results of this radio ministry, of these fruits, no man, No man can ever claim credit. Truly, God has given the blessing. And so then we ask you to join with us this week in thanking God for the blessed 75th anniversary of the International Lutheran Layman's League. This is indeed an organization of mortal men and women who sin and who often fail. But it is also a structure that God has used to bring the good news of Jesus Christ crucified to millions in spiritual slavery. For most of this century, this program has had the privilege of bringing the good news of liberty to the captives of sin and the devil. Oh yes, by the grace of God, this program, centered around God's word of forgiveness, has set thousands and thousands of spiritual prisoners free. All thanks and all praise and all glory be given to God alone. Amen.
Hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.